Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we have a story. We have a big, big story for you. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we're talking about how the radical left, having now had the past 4 years to come up with a plan to take the election, no matter who actually won, are now executing that plan in broad daylight, defying anyone and everyone to stop them. The tyrants who run the fake news media, the tyrants who run social media, and everyone else who has received millions and billions, with a B, in funding from subversives like George Soros, are all acting in concert together like the grand finale at a 4th of July fireworks show. That attack from within that Abraham Lincoln warned about before he was murdered by the ancestors of today's Democrats is underway and it's in full swing. We told you this was coming all the way back in December of 2010. We told you. We've been warning you for a decade. And now that day is here. There's a woman that I follow on Twitter named Anne, and she had perhaps the best comment on this horrific election process we're watching out of anybody, out of any commentator that I have heard so far. This is what she said. She said, "This election reminds me of that time security cameras stopped working the night Jeffrey Epstein killed himself." Well, guess what? That's it. That's it, 100%, with a capital I and a capital T. Mark it down. She nailed it. That's it. "This election reminds me of that time security cameras stopped working the night that Jeffrey Epstein, quote unquote, killed himself." That's exactly what's happening in real time while the whole world is watching. This is what Abraham Lincoln said back on January 27th of 1838 at the Young Men's Lyceum of Springfield, Illinois. He wasn't president then, but he saw the conflict coming. And perhaps people have said that Lincoln had he lived in a constant overshadowing of his own fate. And Abraham Lincoln said this in 1838 about America. "At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide." Abraham Lincoln, January 27th, 1838. And that's the actual quote of what he said. And it's been misquoted and requoted and repurposed and repackaged many, many, many times. But that's the actual quote of what Lincoln said. He was saying that if the destruction of America was ever to come, it could not come from a foreign power. It could only come from within our borders, from our fellow Americans. Now, he said that in 1838, and in just 22 short years, this nation would be engaged in the first Civil War. Right now, as you hear my voice, as you listen to this program, as you look out your window and you see America collapsing, you've lived long enough to see America's second Civil War. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing on today's program. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for all these that You're gathering in the chat room, Lord. We thank You for everyone who listens to this show, whether it's live or in the archives. And we just pray, Lord, that You would give us a special blessing today. And there's those among us who are sick and have COVID. We pray for Brother John Roth, who's in the hospital on a ventilator from COVID, a member of our church, and we just pray that the Lord would touch him and give a healing. We pray for Terry and Carol King and here in St. Augustine. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give them the victory over COVID. And Father God, we just pray for everyone and all of our NTEB family of believers around the world. We just pray, Lord, for anyone today who is struggling and who is sick and who really needs to hear from you. We pray, Lord, that they would hear from you. And with this program, Father God, we just lift it up before you, and we ask you, Lord, for your blessing today. Open our eyes and open our ears to the truth of what's happening. And we ask all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Today is going to be, it's really going to be a very serious program today. All of these podcasts that we do are, they're serious programs, but sometimes they can be a little bit lighthearted. But that's not going to be the case today. Today, we are going to look at the destruction of America. And it's been in the works for decades, ever since the 1950s and 60s, when the Communist Party, the Marxists and the Socialists, they tried to get a foothold here in this country, and they have been turned back and turned back and turned back. But Jesus says this in the Gospels. He says, "But now is your hour and the power of darkness." And here in 2020, the Bible says, "My people perish for lack of vision." If you have perfect vision, what do they call it? They say that you have 20/20 vision, right? Well, here in the year of 2020, God has decided to flip the switch. And we are seeing things happening on a prophetical level that I've waited literally 30 years to see. So there's a part of me that rejoices. If you're a Bible believer, you will be just as happy with the negative things in Bible prophecy as you will be with the positive things in Bible prophecy. And the reason why is because they're both from God. The negative prophecies are the prophecies that God has made, and so are the positive prophecies. And you should rejoice just as much with either one, because what God has said will come to pass, will come to pass, no matter what you think, say, or do. It does not depend on your belief. And that's the beautiful thing about Bible prophecy. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. On May 14th, 1948, the nation of Israel, after 2,000 years of being dispersed, was miraculously, in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, was regathered in the exact spot that they were driven out by the Romans in AD 70. Now, we live in a day and age where the vast majority of people, even Christians, don't believe that regathered Israel fulfilled Bible prophecy, but it doesn't matter what you and I believe. The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And Bible prophecy is coming true in our day, and we're watching it happen. The very first president that I ever voted for was actually Ronald Reagan back in 1980. I was 19 years old at the time, and it was an honor and it was a thrill to vote for Ronald Reagan. I was raised in a very patriotic household. My dad was a Army Air Force veteran of World War II and the Korean conflict, and my brother was a Marine. And so I was raised in a very patriotic environment. And Ronald Reagan was the first president that I ever voted for. But I want to remind you of what Ronald Reagan said, and this is just one small clip of a theme that he talked about for about 30 years. Listen to Ronald Reagan talking about the last best hope of man on earth. Take a listen.
"Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. and it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said, there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Ronald Reagan said that America was the last best hope on earth. The only place where men and women can truly be free. And America has never been perfect, but it has always been the place for 244 years where freedom was possible. And that light is going out while we're watching. We are the generation that is watching the end of America as we know it, as Ronald Reagan talked about it. Now, Reagan was talking about America being the last best hope for man on earth. He was talking about that from a secular perspective, from a humanist perspective, because we know that the last best hope for man on earth is salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is the last best hope for man. That is the first best hope for man, and that is the only hope for man. But from a humanist and secular perspective, you've got to get rid of America in order to bring in the New World Order. 3 days ago, we did this story. Globalist Joe Biden, globalist Joe Biden win greatly accelerates Emmanuel Macron's dream of a European army, with himself as the EU commander in chief. And we've told you for almost the entire year now that from our perspective, it certainly looks like Emmanuel Macron is shaping up to be the biblical man of sin from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And nothing that has happened since January has made me think even for a second that that's not the case. And with each passing day, that gets truer and truer. Speaking to the Express.UK, Professor of National Security and Political Science at the University of New Haven, Matthew Schmidt, said that Democratic candidate Joe Biden will be, quote, wholeheartedly embraced, end quote, by European leaders across the Brussels bloc. Professor Schmidt argued anyone different from incumbent President Trump would have looked better in the eyes of the EU leaders as they look to reinstate their powerful before Trump status across the world. Nearly all of the European Union is excited at the prospect of a Joe Biden-Kamala Harris victory, because they know that Donald Trump, he's an imperfect man, as we all are, but Donald Trump has stood in the gap for the last 4 years, and he has done to the best of his ability the job that God placed him in office to do. And if you're not a Bible believer, you may be shocked and surprised by that statement that I just said, that God placed Donald Trump in office. Well, I have a news flash for you. God places all men who rule nations in office. The book of Daniel says that God setteth up kings and he taketh down kings. That's what he says. Read it for yourself. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." That's exactly what God does. And we told you back in 2015, 2016, I had a reader from Illinois call me on the phone last night while I was making dinner. His name was John, and it was great to hear from him. If you're listening, it was great chatting with you last night about the end times. And we know absolutely that you cannot bring in the New World Order until you get rid of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is against the New World Order. And what did Donald Trump do? He was the only president since World War II to declare that Jerusalem is rightly the capital of the sovereign nation of Israel. He was the only president over the last 72 years who moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And God has used Donald Trump in an amazing variety of ways, but he has used him to fulfill his will. God did not install Donald Trump to make America great again. And I got a chill when I listened to that clip of Ronald Reagan that I just played for you, and when I played that clip of Lee Greenwood singing America the Beautiful, and David Phelps singing God Bless America. I get little beads of sweat breaking out on the back of my neck because I get so excited. I'm a patriot. I love America. But God did not put Donald Trump into office to make America great again. God put Donald Trump in office, and Now the End Begins, you go back and read it, Now the End Begins was one of the only news outlets, Christian or non-Christian, to call for a Donald Trump landslide as early as February of 2016. And a lot of people were shocked by that. They mocked us for making that statement, and then when it turned out to be 100% true, people didn't know what to make of it. And I didn't write that because I'm so smart or anything else. It's because I listened to what the Lord was telling me. And God will talk to you just as much as he'll talk to me. And all you have to do is ask him. All you have to do is open up his word. And he'll be very, very happy to meet with you. That's one of his promises. He says, "Come now and let us reason together." You want to talk with God? Get saved and open up his word. Go get yourself a King James Bible. Maybe you don't have a King James Bible. We'll send you one for free. All you have to do is email us at info@nowtheendbegins.com, and you just tell us that you'd like to receive a King James Bible, and we'll send you one out at no charge. We are in the process now of sending out 8,000 King James Bibles to over 20 different foreign countries, and that's all thanks to you guys who are listening right now. And you allowed the Lord to touch your heart and to touch your wallet, and because you did that, we raised the money for 16,000-pound rolls of paper that is sending out 8,000 1,000 King James Bibles to countries most of which have no Bible of any kind. So, if you need a Bible, email me and I'll send you one. Back in February of 2016, I wrote this article, Why a Bible Believer is Supporting Donald Trump for President of the United States. And I'm going to get to our topic in just a minute. I'm going to bring you up to the present day, but I want to remind you where this whole process started. And some of the things you still recall, but some of the things maybe have slipped your mind. And we just need to refresh our memory. And I wrote this, the political elites hate him and are spending millions to try and stop him. I'll be honest, when Trump first said he was running, I really didn't care, and I hardly followed his progress. But now in my 7th year of writing for NTEB, that was a couple years ago, I have become quite adept at looking for the story within the story to try and get at the truth. When I saw the hatred for Trump, not just from the loony left, but from Republicans and conservatives, I have to tell you, my ears perked up. Why did they hate him so much? I wondered. And then it became clear. God showed me why they hated Donald Trump so much. And this is what I wrote. I said, as I see, well, actually, here's the whole paragraph, written in February of 2016. Predictions for the 2 cents they are worth. As I see it, Donald Trump will be the far and away winner for the Republican Party nomination for president, hands down. Then, should he survive the assassination attempts on his life, he will easily win in November in a landslide. Do you remember when he was holding a rally, I think, in Nevada, and that man grabbed a cop's loaded gun and ran at Donald Trump? Go back and Google that. Go look at that video on YouTube. I remember it like it was yesterday. And they have been trying to kill him for the last 4 years. And I said that Donald Trump should easily win in November in a landslide. And this was 4 years ago. And that's exactly what happened. He won the Electoral College by almost 33%. And people were amazed that that's, we called it, and we were one of the very, very, very few people to say that. And here we are, 4 years later, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, has the landscape changed. How many people who were Republicans back in 2016, like Cindy McCain, are Democrat right now? Some of you who follow politics may know who Bill Kristol is. And he used to have a magazine and a newspaper. What was the name of his? He's out of business now. But he used to have a far right, hardcore conservative magazine and website. And he went out of business because he decided to put his lot in with the Democrats. And the Drudge Report. Back in 2016, the Drudge Report was one of the factors that got Donald Trump elected from a humanist perspective, because the Drudge Report has always been unfailingly conservative. Well, I'm looking at the drudgereport.com right now, and it looks like it's an extension of the Daily Beast. It looks like almost like the Babylon Bee. The Drudge Report is as liberal as you could ever possibly hope to see. And he has been campaigning for Joe Biden for about 2 months now. And if you go to the drudgereport.com right now, you will see a beautiful image of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden on the brink of victory, on track for 80 million votes. Why, that's a Christmas miracle. 80 million votes. Let's see how many votes that Barack Obama got. How many votes did Obama get? Let's see how many he got. Barack Obama got, oh, and it's not going to tell me now. Barack Obama how many popular votes did he get? And I don't remember the number, but I guarantee you it was nothing even remotely like 80 billion. And that's what they're calling for Joe Biden right now. Barack Obama got 69,498,518 votes in the 2008 presidential election. And his reelection did not pass that number. 69,498,518. So here in 2020, the Drudge Report wants you to believe that Joe Biden, who hardly ever even came out of his basement, and when he came out of his basement, he couldn't tell the difference between his wife and his sister. He couldn't remember famous quotes and famous people. He couldn't remember the name of the college that he was graduated from. He comes out of the basement and he has like half of a brain left. And yet we're supposed to believe that that same person, Joe Biden, who did almost no campaigning of any kind, and when he held a rally, he never had more than 20 or 30 people, with one exception, he never had more than 20 or 30 people at any single rally, while Donald Trump had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 people at his rallies, even during COVID. And now we're supposed to believe that this same Joe Biden is now on track to receive the most popular votes out of any presidential candidate in American history, including the Ronald Reagan landslides of the 1980s. Now, if you believe that Joe Biden is actually receiving that many actual popular votes, then you have been deceived to a very, very high degree, because that is an absolute and a complete lie. And now this brings us back up to 2020. This brings us up, today is November 6th. It is 2 days, 3 days after the election. And let's take a listen to what Tucker said the night after the election. So he said this Wednesday, which was 2 days ago. And this is going to be one of those rare times when I'm actually going to disagree with Tucker. Take a listen to Tucker saying that Democrats fell short in bid to impose their new system on America. And this is the moment that my mouse...
In a lot of ways, unfortunately, what happened last night could not have been worse for this country, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our future. The outcome of our presidential election was seized from the hands of voters, where, of course, it rightly belongs, and now resides in the control of lawyers and courts and highly partisan, clearly corrupt big city bureaucrats. So no matter what happens next, that is a tragedy. Many Americans will never again accept the results of a presidential election. That story is still unfolding tonight, obviously, and we're going to follow it as honestly as we can wherever it leads. We'll begin with that in just a minute. But first, we want to acknowledge the good news. And believe it or not, there is some good news, regardless of everything else that has happened. And here it is. America remains. It's still here. That's the first and most important thing. And it's not a foregone conclusion. We almost lost it. Democrats told us they wanted to beat Donald Trump. They spent more money than anyone ever has in any election in history to do that. But there was a lot more going on. Democrats didn't harness the full power of big tech and the billionaire class simply to make Joe Biden president. No. What they really wanted was total control over everything. No more democracy, no more dissent, permanent obedience from the rest of us. And they came shockingly close to getting that. If Democrats had won the White House and the Senate last night, the country as we know it would have ended. Not because Democrats have bad ideas, though they do, but because Democrats plan to impose an entirely new system on our country. Not an agenda, a system. With nothing to check their power, the left fully intended to eliminate the traditional American balances within our government, along with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that constrain their power. We're not overstating this. Joe Biden's party planned to turn our highest court into a partisan political weapon. They admitted that, They wrote magazine articles about how they planned to do it. Then they planned to pack the Congress of the United States, the legislative branch, by adding new states to our union, purely for the Senate seats. We're not speculating there either. They admitted that too. Then they planned to pack the electorate itself, the ultimate corruption in a democracy. 20 million foreign nationals added to our voter rolls overnight. That was their agenda. How would any of that improve the United States of America? Well, they never claimed that it would. Making this country better was never the point. The point was to create a permanent Democratic majority, a one-party state with complete control over the population. Never in our history has any mainstream political party proposed an agenda more radical than this. They didn't talk about it much. There's a reason for that, of course. They didn't want to scare you. But it was entirely real. And last night, it came very close to happening. We should all be deeply grateful that it didn't. We're telling you this because we want to be clear about the stakes involved. This isn't a matter of opinions and a difference between those opinions. This isn't about policy. It's about the system that all of us live under, that governs this country. That's what's at stake. So keep that in mind as we move forward.
So Tucker was breathing a sigh of relief on Wednesday when he was saying that we dodged a bullet. But here we are on Friday, and as you're starting to see, we didn't dodge a bullet at all. That bullet absolutely hit its mark. And if you look at the middle section of all these articles that we send out when we advertise these programs, I have a section here right under the image on the article page, and it says study helps and links for today's podcast. And every time that we do a podcast or a Bible study, I always try and throw in a handful of links to articles that reference what we're talking about. And today, the four articles that I put in have to do with exactly what we're seeing. And the first article that I put on today's article is called Operation Overthrow. George Soros-funded Transition Integrity Project has plan in place to remove Trump from office whether he wins or not. So we did that story back in September 16th of this year, and we discovered that George Soros had created a group that he paid for all by himself, and it's called the Transition Integrity Project. And of course, just like Planned Parenthood, that doesn't plan for anyone to become parents. They stop you from being parents. That's what happens at Planned Parenthood. There's no parenting at all. You just wind up with a dead baby. And so it is with this title as well. Transition Integrity Project. There's a transition, but there's no integrity of any kind. And do you remember on Tuesday night, if you started watching the election returns around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, do you recall how once you got to about 9:45, 9:50, almost 10 o'clock, do you remember how nervous all the Democrats started getting when Trump took Florida and he starts winning all these other states and he's skyrocketing in Pennsylvania and he's skyrocketing in Georgia and even the Las Vegas betting odds switched from Biden becoming president to Trump becoming president? And somewhere around 10 o'clock to 11:45, 11:30 maybe, on Tuesday night Eastern Standard Time, it looked like Donald Trump was about 2 hours away from winning this election exactly the same way that he won it back in 2016. When the votes started coming in and he won Florida, he skyrocketed and never looked back and he became president. Well, the same thing, if you were watching, happened almost identically on Tuesday night. And when it became crystal clear that Donald Trump was going to take my state of Florida and that Hispanics and blacks down in the southern part in Dade County, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and all those places, blacks and Hispanics began to vote for Donald Trump in record number. And the Democrats were freaking out. And everybody started saying, it looks like Donald Trump is going to have a Groundhog Day repeat of the last election. And then what happened next? Pennsylvania stopped counting. Wisconsin stopped counting. Georgia stopped counting. And I was following all the action on the Jay Sekulow Facebook live stream. And Jay Sekulow, he's an amazing lawyer, and he has done a lot of things for Christians. And Jay Sekulow is the head of Donald Trump's legal counsel for the campaign. And him and his people were flabbergasted. Why would Pennsylvania and Georgia and all these other states where Donald Trump was skyrocketing, they said, no more counting. We'll pick it up tomorrow. We'll pick it up Thursday. And just like that, these Democrat-run states flipped the switch and everything stopped. But Joe Biden began to increase and increase and increase, and it was the most amazing thing. The counts were stopping for Trump, and yet somehow Biden, by the time that the smoke cleared, the vast majority of the liberal fake news media sites were declaring Biden within 6, 7, 8 points of 270. Now, if that seems like that's the regular election process to you, then there's something wrong with the way that you think. I mentioned at the beginning of this program that the first vote that I ever cast in a presidential race was for Ronald Reagan back in 1980. That is 40 years ago. I've seen a number of elections. I've voted in a number of elections. And never, ever, ever have I seen a candidate who's surging, and then the states who are run by people from the opposition party, they just out of nowhere say, nope, we're going to stop counting and maybe we'll pick it up tomorrow. Have you ever watched a football game? Have you ever watched your favorite team and they're losing and the other team is on the verge of scoring a touchdown that would put it out of reach? A typical trick play that teams who are far behind and they don't want to get shut out, what they'll do is they will intentionally cause some sort of a mishap, and that will stop the game, it will stop the momentum, and they will intentionally try to drag that penalty out. Maybe they'll pretend to be hurt and the player will lie down on the ground. But the idea is that when the opposing team is surging and you can't stop them, a really effective tactic is to do anything, something that stops the forward momentum. You throw some sort of a cog into the wheel and you stop the machine, and then everything begins to change. And that's exactly what happened on Tuesday night. And I'm watching it on about 6 different websites. I'm listening to Jay Sekulow and his, I think it was his 2 sons, who are also lawyers. And it was the most amazing thing. Donald Trump was winning. He was ahead in Pennsylvania. He was ahead in Georgia. He was ahead in Arizona. He was ahead in Wisconsin. And he is just, you know, he had just taken Florida, which they refused to announce for him for nearly 2 hours after it became obvious. So we're talking about election night. I haven't even started to discuss the voter fraud and the 138 ballots that pop up out of nowhere and all these different things. But if you look at what happened on election night, and how unbelievably crazy was that, that states like Pennsylvania and Georgia, run by hardcore machine Democrats, they just simply said, that's it, we close up shop. And when people tried to go over there, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and when election monitors tried to go over there to see what was happening, take a listen to this. Black poll worker gives his account of what happened when he tried to monitor the vote in Nevada. Take a listen.
Good morning. I'm Chris Padone. I'm going to give my account what happened. I was here, actually been here for quite a bit, and was here with members of the Trump campaign and came in a media capacity to obtain content, information on election night, and unfortunately was stereotyped in that regard, and you can take for that what you may, and was not able to obtain any type of access by any means, and got a little bit, I guess you can say assertive or aggressive is the word, so to speak, and the question was asked at 1:30 in the morning, why are you here? And our response was, well, it's election night. That's why we're here, and you guys are obviously counting ballots. And it was unique because they said they had an hour and a half left of counting to do, and an official came out who was kind and asked us to sign documents. And a few moments later, we were asked to leave. Well, I find it ironic we were asked to leave within 10 to 12 minutes when they said they had an hour and a half of counting left to do. And clearly that was an attack, I think, on any type of conservative media or any individual or entity that wanted to have access and cover. And we find it very unique that other outlets are able to have full access, but we were not given any type of access whatsoever. And the question, the validity of my background, or any type of media, any type of experience whatsoever. So that was my personal account, and that's it.
So that was a black Republican poll worker who was giving his account of what happened on election night, and he was not allowed to monitor the vote in Nevada. And we had stories from all over the country in Democrat-run places where Republicans were not allowed to take a look at the process as the process started to change. And a few moments ago, I told you about this article that we did called The Transition Integrity Project. And it's an article that I co-wrote with Lori D. from Pennsylvania. And the Transition Integrity Project group was formed in December of 2019. It's funded by George Soros. And its formation speaks to the very false idea created by Democrats that Trump will not accept a Biden victory and refuse to leave office, which is more likely translated into, they know that he'll be the clear winner as he was in 2016, but he needs to go anyway. Despite trying to impeach him, follow-up plans were already underway to force him out. No matter what, that was also the plan. And we wrote this article in September of 2016. So September, October, we wrote this about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And it's very, very clear that Donald Trump, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, he was in complete position to be the clear winner, as he was in 2016. That's what we wrote back in September. And that's exactly what was happening at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on election night. That's exactly what was happening. And then all of a sudden, Pennsylvania went dark, Georgia went dark, and one by one, all the other states began to stop their counting. They started to refuse to allow monitors in. They closed up shop. And then, somewhere between 2:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning, they began to make announcements. And it's like a Christmas miracle. Hundreds of thousands of votes that were not there suddenly now are there. And guess what? Every single one of those votes, hands down, not one missing, 138 ballots showed up in Michigan overnight, and 138,000 ballots showed up in Michigan overnight. And can you guess how many of those 138,000 ballots that showed up after states began to shut down and refused to count, when they began to recount, In Michigan, 138,000 additional ballots were suddenly discovered somewhere between 2:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning, and every single one of those 138,000 ballots were all for Joe Biden. Not a single one for Donald Trump. Now, if you're familiar with magicians like David Blaine, even he would be unable to pull off a trick like that. That is an amazing, amazing trick. How about in Wisconsin? Another one of those states that refused to continue counting ballots for Donald Trump. All of a sudden, 100,000 ballots, and all for Joe Biden, began to show up sometime between 2:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I played that clip of the black poll worker who was refused access in Nevada. Well, shortly after he made that statement, Nevada stopped counting, just like Georgia, just like Pennsylvania. Now, do you see a pattern here? And I know that some of the claims that Donald Trump has made over the last 48 hours have been either not true or exaggerated. And we have been very, very careful to not report things that are only true from an emotional perspective. And we have tried very, very hard to stick only with things that are factual and verified. And yet, the things that are factual and verified are shocking. They are stunning. And because the entire media and social media are in the bag for Joe Biden, that they are now acting as if everything that we're seeing is exactly how it should be, and there's nothing here to see, and keep moving, when in reality, what we are watching is a coup. Nothing more and nothing less than a coup. And it's happening in real time. You're watching it. I'm watching it. And they are daring you to try and stop it. Over on Facebook, a conservative group called Stop the Steal group was formed. And within 24 hours, this Facebook group called Stop the Steal had 350,000 members and was growing by tens of thousands of new members per hour. Guess what Facebook did? They banned them. They removed the group. They did not allow these Trump supporters who have taken the position that the election is being stolen, which is absolutely their right to hold that opinion. If free speech is real, if we're allowed to have free speech under the United States Constitution, then you are allowed to hold the opinion that the election is being stolen. You are allowed to have the opinion that the election is not being stolen. If those things are your opinion, well, our Constitution says that you have the right to hold that opinion, but not on Facebook. They realized that they were hours away from having a group with over 1 million people, tens of thousands of new members per hour, and they were a day away from a Facebook group called Stop the Steal with 1 million-plus members, and Mark Zuckerberg orders that group to be destroyed and does not allow them to communicate with each other on Facebook. And this is happening all across social media. It's happening on Twitter. A couple of days before the election took place, Facebook banned me from posting my own articles on my own Facebook groups that we have for Now the End Begins and Final Days Prayer Group and the 666 Surveillance Society and all that stuff. Facebook said that I was not allowed to comment on anybody else's post if it was not on my page, and I was not allowed to post content even though I owned the group. And that ban is going to remain in effect until just about January 1st, 2021. Now, do you see what's happening? Is social media run by liberals? Fake news media run by liberals? They are colluding together. You want to talk about a conspiracy that you can actually prove? That's happening right now. And it's a conspiracy to silence anyone who is not on board with the liberal program to bring in a Marxist society. I told you when I played that clip of Tucker that I was going to take the relatively rare position and disagree with him. And what I disagree with him on, I agree with the fact that on election night, the fate of America hung in the balance. And I understand that Republicans are going to keep control of the Senate, and that's a good thing. And I understand that the Democrats lost a whole lot of seats in Congress. And I understand that 13 new women in Congress who are pro-life are now sitting in Congress. And we have the most number of pro-life congresswomen right now in the House of Representatives than we have ever had in the history of America. And that's a good thing. The fake news media had talked about the blue wave and the complete taking over of America. And yes, that did not happen on election night. And if you wind the clock back to Tuesday night at 11 p.m., you would clearly see that Donald Trump was within 90 minutes to 2 hours away from winning the election. And then they began to stop the count, and then everything began to change. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and here we are halfway through the day on Friday, and it at this point, it looks like a Joe Biden win is absolutely unstoppable. Now, I, of course, this is a Bible believers program. We know that the Lord can insert himself at any point that he wants to, and he can change the outcome. Daniel says that God sets up kings and he takes down kings and he reveals the hidden things, and absolutely right. And I hold out at this point about a 4.5% hope that God will do something to change what looks like the inevitable outcome of this election. But what have we told you from the very beginning? If you've been following this program, this website, nowtheendbegins.com, if you've been following us since about 2009 or 2010, back in our baby days, back when we were still a blog, and our listeners could be counted in the hundreds instead of the tens of thousands as we do now, if you would go with us all the way back to the very beginning, what would you see if you were to go to the Now the End Begins website? You would see this graphic that I'm putting into the chat room, and you would see, I made that. That's the very, very, very first piece of art that I ever created for Now the End Begins. This is thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of artwork ago. And I have made at least 8,000 pieces of artwork because we've done about 8,230 articles, and I've done some sort of art for every single one of them. But the graphic that you're looking at now, and if you're not in the chat room or you're listening to this program in the archives or on iTunes or wherever, you can go to the Wayback Machine. It's web.archive.org, and you can type in Now the End Begins, and you can go and see February 25th of 2010. That was the first screen capture or site capture that the government archival system did of NowTheEndBegins.com. And the website had been up for maybe 8 or 9 months before that, but this capture that they did on February 25th of 2010, that is a very good representation of what our site looked like when it was a blog. And if you look at that graphic, you're going to see a number of things. You're going to see the American bald eagle flying downward behind a Capitol dome that has the crest of Islam on top of it. And the descending American eagle is flying over the Federal Reserve, and it's flying next to the falling World Trade Centers with the flames everywhere. And you see a picture of George Soros inside of a campaign button that says Obama for America. And you see on top of the Capitol building a quote from James Paul Warburg, who said before the United States Senate in 1952, "We shall have world government, whether we like it or not. And the only question is, will this world government be achieved by conquest or consent?" That's what James Paul Warburg said in front of the United States Senate back in 1952. If you look over on the left side of the graphic, you'll see that I put the image of the two witnesses blowing the shofar, and then that quote from Joel 3:16, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem." And then in the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see what I wrote, and I wrote this. And I want you to just, for the next 20 seconds, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen to these words that I wrote, that God touched me to write back in 2010. I said, "The coming betrayal of America. For generations, the Bible has warned of the coming end of days, and you are now living in that time. America, a nation raised up by the hand of God to spread the gospel and to be a beacon of freedom for people around the world, is about to be forever silenced by those sworn to protect her, her leaders." And here we are, 10 years after I wrote that, 10 years after I made this first graphical piece of artwork for Now the End Begins, back in its baby days when it was just a tiny little blog, and I had the overwhelming feeling that this was coming. And now here we are, and we are in the midst of the second American Civil War. And not just because of the election, and not just because of the events of the past 72 hours. No, we are in the midst of the second American Civil War, and have been for the past 9 months. Ever since COVID started, ever since the lockdowns started, and Americans began to be pitted against each other, and our economy was crashed, and disinformation flew at an unbelievable level. At the start of the COVID crisis, Anthony Fauci, he got on TV, and he mockingly said that people do not need to wear a mask. That's what he said at the very beginning. He said, "No masks are needed." And then, within a few months after that, what did he say? He said, "Absolutely, you're crazy if you don't wear a mask." And if you don't believe me, take a listen to Anthony Fauci saying exactly that.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Now, tell me once again how we're supposed to blame Donald Trump for the 200,000+ COVID deaths when you had the head of the CDC saying mockingly, laughingly, that it's a silly idea if Americans wear masks. And that's where all this started. And day after day, week after week, month after month, it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then the riots started. And then $2 billion worth of damage by the middle of June of this past summer. The riots that have taken place by Black Lives Matter and Antifa have been the most costly riots in the history of the United States. There have been no series of protests or riots that have caused anywhere near the damage that Black Lives Matter and Antifa have done, and that count of $2 billion was $2 billion as of June. It does not take into account everything that happened in Seattle and in Portland, everything that happened 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia. It doesn't talk about the four people that were stabbed on election night by Antifa in Washington, D.C. And where did this virus spread from? Hundreds of thousands of people across America rioting in the streets, no masks, no social distance, yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs. That's where your super spreader came from. It didn't come from people, 6,000 people going to a Trump rally. When you had 20,000 people every single night of the week for months on end in St. Louis and Detroit and Philadelphia and Seattle and in Portland and in New York City and all these other places, that's the super spreading. That's where all those problems came from. But yet, we're supposed to believe that Trump is the cause of these 200,000 plus dead people from COVID. And now here we are on Friday, and the Drudge Report is proudly announcing that Joe Biden is now nearing 80 million popular votes, which would make him the most popular president in American history. Do you believe that? And that's a sincere question. Do you really believe that that more people voted for Joe Biden after states started shutting down and stopping the count and kicking out people like the black pollster that we played the clip of? Do you really believe that Joe Biden is that popular and that popularity did not show itself until between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning in the early hours of Wednesday? Do you believe that? Well, the woman who was about to become the vice president of the United States, and then very shortly after that, she is going to become the next president of the United States, Kamala Harris. This is what she said back in June about the riots and the fact that we are days away from her becoming the vice president and then the actual president. Her words, excuse me, her words should send chills down your spine.
Claire, that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had
that's right.
for the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware. because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
Well, there you go. That's Kamala Harris, our next vice president, and she told you back in June, and I think she was still debating Joe Biden, and she was still calling him a racist. That's Kamala Harris back in June telling Stephen Colbert that the riots are not going to stop. And, I mean, you heard her say, even after Election Day, they're not going to stop. And, indeed, four people were stabbed by Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday night. So she's been very, very good with her word. And what she said back in June, it's coming true 1,000%. I mean, you should believe her. Maya Angelou. I don't like to quote a whole lot of liberals, but something that liberal poet Maya Angelou said a number of years ago, I think it's great advice. Maya Angelou said, "When somebody shows you who they are, believe them." Kamala Harris has not been shy at all about showing you who she is. And she's about to become the vice president of the United States. And she is as radical as any radical that has ever walked the earth. She believes in due date abortion. She is a Marxist. She believes that the riots are a good, healthy expression. Almost 20 people have died, have been murdered. Two people have been raped. The majority of the people who have been killed during the riots were black people and people of color who were killed by Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioters. That's the truth of what's been happening. And she's about to become the next vice president of the United States. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago when Nancy Pelosi, she set up something called the 25th Amendment Commission? And let me see if I can find exactly what they called it. Here's an article from Roll Call, and it's October 9th. And they said, "Why would Speaker Nancy Pelosi unveil legislation less than 1 month before Election Day to establish a commission under the 25th Amendment to determine the president's fitness for holding office?" Now, those of you who don't know, the 25th Amendment is the, it's the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, which says this: "In case of the removal of the president from office or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president." Section 2 says, "Whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the vice president, the president shall nominate a vice president who shall then take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress." Okay? Section 3 says, "Whenever the president transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and until he transmits them to them a written declaration to the contrary, such powers and duties shall be discharged by," wait for it, "by the vice president as acting president." And there's more to it. And you can go and read about the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution. But back in October, Nancy Pelosi shocked everybody by creating a commission. And let me see if I can find the exact title of what she calls it. And it sounded like something that was exactly from 1984. Oh, I can't find the name of the, like, what she called it. The Truth Commission or something like that. Anyway, Anyway, it was, here it is. The Commission on Presidential Capacity to Discharge the Powers and Duties of His Office. And everybody instantly figured out that Nancy Pelosi, as much as she hates Donald Trump, was obviously not setting up this commission to get rid of Donald Trump, because there wouldn't be enough time. The election at the time that she was trying to set this up was only weeks away. So ask yourself this question. If Nancy Pelosi was setting up a 25th Amendment commission to review and evaluate the fitness of the president to hold office, and if the actual 25th Amendment that I just read to you clearly states that if the president of the United States is unable to discharge his duties, then the vice president is hereby charged with carrying out the duties of the president. Well, then who did Nancy Pelosi set this commission up for? Well, if you're smart, even if you're not smart, if you're alive and you're awake and you have a functioning brain, you know that she set this commission up for Joe Biden. And who's the vice president in a Joe Biden administration? Kamala Harris. And we told you about that back on August 12th of 2020. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and go to news categories. You can go to the subheading of Politics U.S. and you can mouse over to the section entitled Creepy Joe Biden, and you'll see the article there for yourself. Not even 24 hours later, and already CNN is talking about how cognitively challenged Joe Biden will step aside to make Kamala Harris the president. CNN editor-at-large Chris Saliza suggested on Tuesday, this is back in August, that former Vice President Joe Biden would step aside to elevate his new running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, all but conceding that Joe Biden will not finish his presidential term if elected. Joe Biden made that pick that maximized his chances of continuing to make the race a straight referendum on Trump, while also selecting someone whose resume suggests being ready to step in if and when Joe Biden decides to step aside. Now, guess what? That's happening right now. We warned you about that. We told you about that back on August 12th of 2020. And here we are. Joe Biden is, I don't want to say that he's hours away, but he's just a couple of days away from having the ginned up fake results with the miracle Christmas Day ballots from Michigan and Wisconsin and Nevada that suddenly appeared out of nowhere between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And when that happens, now we know that the fake news media, they don't tell you the truth. But let me tell you something. The fake news media is ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, PBS, CNN, MSNBC, and we have to add Fox News to that list now, because on election night, Fox News, they took their knife and they stabbed Trump right between the shoulder blades, right in his back, through his front, and with the blood dripping down onto the floor. That's what Fox News did to President Trump on election night. They refused to call the state of Florida for almost 2 hours after it was beyond obvious that Trump had taken Florida. So, this may pain some of you to hear this, but Fox News is fake news. Now, I stopped watching Fox News about 3 years ago. I couldn't take it anymore. There are still people on Fox News who will tell you the truth. Sean Hannity, most of the time, will tell you the truth. Laura Ingraham, I don't really like listening to her voice, but she'll tell you mostly the truth. I love Tucker Carlson. That may change. I don't know. But as of today, 1:15, November 6th of 2020, I think Tucker does a fantastic job. And I even went so far in an article that I wrote a couple weeks ago, and I called Tucker Carlson the last truth teller over on Fox News, because, in my opinion, he is the last one over there. Now, he's the most highly rated program on Fox News. So he's the last one of the big guys over on Fox who is still telling the truth. But who knows how long it's going to be before they get to him as well and threaten him with his livelihood, threaten him with whatever that they can do to damage his reputation. It's likely that something like that will happen. Do you recall a couple of years ago when Sean Hannity was just about to expose the people who really killed Seth Rich? And then all of a sudden he's like, well, we've decided to cancel that program and blah, 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 and whatever the reasons were. And he became compromised. And that's when I stopped listening to Sean Hannity. But Tucker Carlson, he's the last one. But even he's not going to last all that much longer. And so when Joe Biden, whether it's real or fake, whether it's made up or whatever the case is, when Joe Biden reaches critical mass, now, it's funny, because for the last 2 minutes, I said, when Joe Biden reaches critical mass, I just clicked on Breitbart.com, and what's the headline on Breitbart.com? Media declare Joe Biden the winner. So, I will update my previous statement, and I will tell you that the fake news media is already declaring Joe Biden the winner. And that process has begun. Now, of course, Trump is going to fight it, and everything that they've been saying about him is they're going to say, oh, he's not stepping down, but would you step down? Would you step down? I wouldn't step down. Not at all. But Trump now is in a no-win situation. Now, again, God could still step in, and he could do something miraculous, and I hope that he does, and that would be fantastic. But let me get to my last point for today's program. For the last 4 years, 4.5 years, I've been writing about Donald Trump, and I have used the expression repeatedly that when God put Donald Trump into office, he gave us a 4-year window of grace. And during that time, Donald Trump has made it very, very possible for Christians and conservatives to live their life and to be very outspoken and be very vocal. And that's one of the many reasons why he is so hated. But it was a 4-year window of grace. I don't see it as an 8-year window of grace. I don't see Donald Trump winning this election. I have said a couple of times, I hope he does, and I wanted him to. And I talked about a couple of weeks ago that if Donald Trump were to win, it was my feeling, just my opinion, but it was my feeling that the left at that point would take their best shot to assassinate him. But it looks like they've done something different. It looks like they had been successful in stealing the election. And, yeah, Trump's going to tie it up in the courts and all that stuff. But this is really a no-win situation for Donald Trump. Kathleen just said, it's not over yet. It can only be allowed if God condones it and God has the final say. And she's exactly right. God does have the final say, and I am going on record as saying that I would like, please, Lord, I would like another 4-year window of grace. That would be fantastic. Please, may we have one. That would be great, and I hope that happens. But I follow the news to a degree that most people don't. And if you're a news publisher, you have to read dozens and dozens and dozens of articles before you get enough information to even write one article. And so as a news publisher and a news creator, as a content creator, I am in the relatively rare position, as all content creators are, of having to read much more news than most people do. And this is about to wildly slide out of Trump's control. And Lulu just said, let us all pray in agreement. And in the last couple minutes of this program, we are going to go before the Lord. That was a great idea, and I'm sure we all agree. And when we end this program, we are going to end it praying to the Lord and asking for another 4-year window of grace. I think we would all love to have that. But at the same time, we have to be prepared for it to go the other way. And part of my job as the editor of Now the End Begins, as your pastor, part of my job is to prepare you for what happens if Trump doesn't win. One of the taglines that I've always used on Now the End Begins from the beginning is I write, are you ready for what comes next? And we need to be prepared for what comes next. Because if Kamala Harris becomes the next president, we are going to be, at the very least, we are going to become a socialist nation. And all those people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and all these far-left crazies, they're going to be given a seat at the table. They're going to be given a voice in the cabinet of Kamala Harris. It's going to be a real rogues gallery of end times characters. That's what you're going to get with a Kamala Harris presidency. And that's for people like me and you who are Bible-believing Christians, who are conservatives. That's a worst-case scenario. And Jesus said this when they came to get him in the garden. He looked at them and said, now is your hour and the power of darkness. The New World Order can't come in until the United States is taken out. That clip that I played for you from Ronald Reagan, where he said that America is Earth's last best hope. That's absolutely true from a human perspective. You have to get rid of America as America in order to bring in the New World Order. Joe Biden said that on day one of his administration, if he remembers this, but he said it, Joe Biden said that on day one of his administration, he was going to rejoin America to the Paris Climate Accords. He is going to institute the Green New Deal. And they have already promised these things. Due date abortion. And that's what you're going to get from a President Joe Biden and a President Kamala Harris. It's literally going to be this country's worst nightmare. But from a prophetical perspective, these things, Terry is asking, will we be forced to worship in secret? Highly likely. Highly likely. Kathleen says, I am not praying for 4 years of grace. I am praying for God's will and to accept whatever he has for us. I can absolutely say amen to that. But public schools, as bad as they are now, will become a nightmare situation with your children being indoctrinated with 72 different genders and transsexual and pedophile and all this different stuff. That's what comes in with a President Kamala Harris. It's literally America's worst case scenario. Lori Ann just said, praying for the rapture. Angel says, Agenda 21, population controlled. Absolutely. Brother Willie says, home churches. Well, guess what? One thing that Dr. Ruckman used to say all the time, and he was my Bible teacher for 25 years, and he still is. But Dr. Ruckman used to say something that I thought was very profound. He used to say, when you wind up in the place where you started, time's over. And what he meant to say was, is that the early church started with the apostles being driven out of Jerusalem and going into places like Damascus and Syria and Macedonia to preach the gospel. That's exactly how the entire church age began. Well, we've come back to the Middle East 2,000 years later, and now the Abraham Accords are the big news of our day. And where are we? We're right back where we started from 2,000 years ago. And what was happening 2,000 years ago? The early Christians were being persecuted by the Roman government, which 250 years later would become the Roman Catholic Church. And they were forced to hold home churches and private Bible studies underground. And they were forced to take the scriptures and run out into the woods to preserve them because they were under such intense persecution. Well, guess what? We're back where we started. And that's exactly, if you have a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris presidency, it is absolutely back to home churches. I have been kicked off of Pinterest. I have been kicked off of LinkedIn. I am massively locked down right now, hardly even functioning on Facebook. I have to have Lori Ann repost all of the stories, and I'm very grateful that she is able to do that. But at some point, they're going to shut me out completely. And then they're going to shut her out, and then they're going to shut Jeanette out, and then they're going to shut you out. And that's what we can expect with a Joe Biden presidency. And at this point, let me just take one last trip to the Drudge Report. Here it is. Here it is. DrudgeReport.com. Brink of victory. Joe Biden to give acceptance speech tonight at 8 p.m. So at 8 p.m. tonight, Joe Biden is going to address America. He's going to speak to the entire world, and he is going to declare victory at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. And he is going to have the backing of every single major news network. He's going to have the backing of Twitter. He's going to have the backing of Facebook. He's going to have the backing of LinkedIn and PayPal and all these other different groups. And you and I are going to become the enemy. And we're going to be right back in the first century. And this thing is going to finish exactly where it started. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God. We thank You, Lord, for our NTEB church family. I thank You, Lord, for this amazing flock that You have put into my hands, but it's Your hands, really. But I thank You, Lord, for this platform. Now the end begins. I thank You for all the people that pray for it, that work for it, that support it, that give money to it. Lord, we're sending out 8,000 King James Bibles to 20 different foreign countries where there's no Bible because you've allowed this platform to exist, and we thank you and we praise your name. And as we see Flight 777 about to take off, and we see the darkness that is settling in over America, and the rising spirit of Antichrist and an unsaved world who is excited to welcome him in, Lord, we look to you. And Father God, we ask you to give us power. Lord, we ask you to give us power to preach and teach your word on the front lines of the end times. We ask you to preach and teach your word, Lord, that souls might be saved even at this late date. God, we trust you and we love you. And we believe your word, Lord. We believe it. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, when your Holy Spirit warned him, do not go to Jerusalem. And what did the Apostle Paul say in response? And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received, amen, of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Father God, we throw ourselves at your feet, and we ask you, Lord, with whatever time is left, we ask you to let us remain on the front lines, strengthen us, provide for us, watch over us, protect us, and give us, Lord, power and a holy unction to preach and teach your word, Lord, to not be consumed with the right side or the left side or the red side or the blue side, Republican or Democrat. We know that the fashion of this world is fading away. We know that America is crumbling, Father God. And we look to you. We look to the hills from whence our help come. We look to you, Lord, skipping among the hills, and we wait to hear those words as you peek down through the lattice at us and say, rise up. Rise up, my fair one, my love, and come away. And Lord, that's our blessed hope. And that's what we look towards. And we ask you, Lord, to let us get something done for you in these closing hours. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What can I say? Here we are. This is where, for the last 10 years, we told you this day was coming. This day is here. What happens after this point, I don't know. Only God knows what happens from this point on. And my advice, however long we're allowed to remain on Facebook and Twitter, however long that we're allowed to remain with this platform, with this website, just like I said on New Year's Eve, almost a year ago now, I said that I surrender to doing this full time, and what a great decision that was. And I surrender to doing this full time. And with whatever time we have left, whether it's days or weeks or months, or I can't imagine that there would be multiple years left, but even if there is, I'm going to stay on these front lines until God removes me. And I hope that that's your prayer as well. I hope that you will say absolutely right. We will stay together as the NTEB Global Family of Believers, and we will work. We will work to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we won't quit until he removes us. I hope that's your prayer. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday night for another edition of the Rightly Dividing Bible Study. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. Where